It's time to travel to the next room with Jane Asher, an exploration of the bigger picture surrounding life on Earth and what follows. Now, here's your host, Jane Asher, on Empower Radio.
Welcome back. It is always a good day when I can step out in my studio and speak to just intriguing people in the death care world. And today I'm so excited. It took us a long time to finally get booked, but my friend Glenda is here. Glenda Villegas, right? Is that how I'm pronouncing it? Glenda Villegas. You got it. She and I met through the Beautiful Dying Expo, and I quickly was drawn to her incredible positive energy. She is just this bright light with this halo of beautiful golden curls. 21 years, United States Air Force. She's retired. And immediately after she retired, she was drawn into death care. And so Glenda is here today, and we're going to find out all about her story and what pulled her toward this. You know, what pulled her into the death care world. And so without further ado, Glenda, welcome to the next room.
Oh, thank you so much, Jane. I'm really excited to be here and tell my story.
I'm so happy too.
Yeah. So the community knows, after 20 years of Air Force service, it was time for me to say goodbye and put my family first. And we moved to San Diego to help take care of family. And so family. Mm-hmm. At that time, my father passed away, and he's in Indiana. I grew up in Indiana, middle cornfield, central USA. And I, you know, that was a great upbringing, very close to my father. So it was extremely hard. His death was unexpected. My stepmom is 5 years older than me. So a lot of people say, how can you handle that? Well, she's a very good companion type friend. Yeah, she seems way older than she is. She's just like one of those old souls that you just want to wrap yourself around. They're wonderful. So getting back to my dad, he passed away unexpectedly. It was extremely tough on the family. And at the same time, I was interviewing for jobs and, you know, what am I going to do next? You need to reinvent yourself after you leave the Air Force industry or any military industry, or if you're leaving any career, you need to reinvent yourself. So the doors just didn't open, but one door did. And that was with a, I'm just going to say it, Dignity Memorial. That's where I started. That's where I got my initial training. I trained as a PPA. That's a personal planning advisor, pre-planning advisor. Then I went into family service, and there, you know, learning family service, I got to see exactly how families are served and how they're not served. Mm-hmm. So that's what led me in there. And then also with my personal experience with my dad being on the other side of the table, not knowing, we'd never had the discussion. He was 66 when he passed.
Wow. And that's young.
Yeah, it's young. And so we're in shock and we're making decisions at the worst time of our life. I know that experience firsthand. I know how that feels, and it doesn't feel good. And I also know what it feels like to slide the credit card to pay for it. So neither of those feel good, especially when you didn't have the conversation. You kind of knew what they wanted, but nothing was written down and nothing had been prepared. So that created a bunch of tension for all of us. So taking all of that and moving forward into the death care, what I call death care field, death care career, I took that passion with me to serve my families, to learn as much as I could about what the options are, what can families do, what's available to them, what's going on, what's popular, what's not, the whole gamut. And what I found, what was missing, was this piece that puts the family first. That, and it's not for everybody. The families that I serve are ones that want to spend more time and be involved in the final process. Now there's people out there that is not for them, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. But for the ones that want a stronger connection to say goodbye, and this comes from my experience, is I learned working at the cemetery, when I was working directly with the families that participated in the final goodbye and had a ritual or had, you know, had a process, they did way better at not moving forward, but processing their grief and moving through the process of grief, because I would maintain contact with those families, call them, check in on them, see how they're doing. There was constant follow-up. And it's not, some people go, oh, that's all sales. That's all sales. When you're in it and your heart is there, you are really calling that family to say, how are you doing today? What other services do you need? What other resources do you need? So taking all of that into consideration, I kind of evolved. And as I was evolving what I wanted to present to the families and the people that I wanted to help serve, it evolved into what I thought was all new and nobody was doing. I would meet Eric Putt a little over a year ago, and he told me his story, how he got into building thresholds and what did it mean to serve a family? What are those options? And keeping the family in control, putting the family in charge of preparing the body, saying the goodbyes, and we can move on into that if you're ready. I know you might have some questions about that. So I kind of want to hear maybe what some direct questions that you have for me.
I do. First, you know, let's just recap. So you're 21 years with the United States Air Force. You have to pivot and reinvent your wheel, so to speak. And you were drawn into the death care community. You are now officially a funeral director with Thresholds Home and Family Directed Funerals here in San Diego County, right? I'm
Yes.
very proud of you, because when I met you, you were still in the process of studying and you hadn't yet become the official funeral director. Let's talk about the differences, because there are so many ways nowadays, and it is so very expensive. It can be super expensive, but then again, it seems like there's a lot more options that we have, and we have more control if we choose to on how we say goodbye and lay our loved ones to rest. So let's talk about that for a minute. What is different about thresholds when you talk about preparing the body and all of that?
Okay. So the first thing I want to point out is one of the things that I learned along the way was that it wasn't what I was taught. I was always taught, well, you have to have a mortuary. You have to pick up the body within 2 to 4 hours. You have to. Mm-hmm. So what I learned through my training, the study of the law, because I took a law class for this, that there is no law in California that states that you must use a funeral director and a funeral establishment. That does not exist. And in fact, on page 7 of the California Consumer Guide for Cemetery and Funerals, the home death care information is right there and spelled on that page. And it starts out with, the use of a funeral establishment and funeral director is not required by law.
Okay.
So I was like, okay.
This is specifically for the state of California. So, you know, our listeners are global. So where would they go to find the resources in their particular state or country that they reside in?
Okay. So I know for the United States, each state has a cemetery and funeral bureau.
Okay.
And then you just go to the website for that particular state and pick up what the laws and rules are. And for California, I found it very interesting that this is not, it's not the law. So I was like, okay, that frees me up. So what can we do with that? You know, what can we do with that? So if that is not the law, then what are the options? So I've
been
working with
families. What are those options?
What are those options? And I'm working with families. Some of the things that help people is to keep their loved one at home using dry ice. And here's an example of one I did recently. We took one of those cardboard corrugated boxes that go into the crematory. Mm-hmm. We took one of those. We lined it. We made it real nice. And they put dry ice so they could prop their loved one up, you know, make them nice and comfortable, but also maintain the body temperature with the dry ice. And then they started, because there were little ones, this grandmother passed away young. And so the little ones, she had very young grandchildren, took color crayons and markers and colored all over the box. And it, some people say, well, don't call it a box. Well, what do you call it? You can call it whatever you want. You can say that this is a coffin, but it's made out of cardboard. We're going to draw on it. You could use anything that you want to. Okay. So what gave them peace was to have 24 access to their mom, their grandmother. You know, the children were there too. So that's their mom. And then the grandchildren there. So that's their grandmother, to spend individual time in the room with nobody around so that they could talk to her and say, grandma or mom, you know, things they couldn't say while she was alive. Children are too young to understand that. They might come in and say hi, bye, whatever, but give them the option. Some children may not even want to go into the room. Maybe some adults won't want to, but for the ones that want to, having that option, having that time with the family member and not interrupted by anybody else, and feeling that you are in 100% control of your loved one, is phenomenal what it does for the psyche.
It seems like it would be so freeing because, like you said, there's not all these have to's. I have to do this. I have to do that. Because so much of the time in the old school way that we were taught was the second that body left the earthly coil or you know, moved on to the next room, they whisked the body away. And so much of the time, the family, they don't have time to grieve that connection. You know, I mean, this person, when they're alive, they're in this body that you love, you know, that you've held hands with and kissed their face and brushed their hair and hugged them, put your arms around them. And then all of a sudden it disappears. So it seems like there was a big gap there with the way that we used to do things, where now we have these loving options where we can actually spend some quality time saying goodbye, or, you know, just being in the presence of this body, even though their soul has, in the way I believe, is already gone. The minute that someone, you know, the light goes out, their soul moves on, but their body is still there, and we still can, you know, pay reverence and love. So I love that. So the kids get to decorate this cardboard coffin, which is cool because it gives them ownership in this, you know, saying goodbye to their grandmother. How cool is that? And so for how long would the body stay at the home?
However long they choose. Here in the state of California.
Okay.
And we all know the body begins to decompose.
Sure.
We all know that. So we talk to the family individually about the things that they can do to help mitigate that. There is going to be decomposition and smell. You know, you can burn candles. You can, there's a lot of things that you can do to kind of mitigate that too. And it's just about opening up your mind to another option. Another family chose not to use one of those cardboard boxes and do that. They put the actual casket. There's a casket company that we deal with in LA. And as soon as you order it, they start building it and then ship it down to San Diego within a 24 to 48 hour turnaround. So that's opened up a lot of options too for those that want to actually have the casket in the house. Now, most people want to keep their loved one in their bed. That's what I'm finding out. That's if they pass away in their bed, they've been there with hospice care. I had a family member pass a few weeks ago. She lost her battle with pancreatic cancer, and we went to LA and we kept her in her bed for a little while and just turned on the air conditioner because the family was going to all be able to be there within 6 hours. And so as all the family came in, they had their individual time with her, and then it was off to the final disposition. And the family just told me, I can't believe we don't do that anymore.
Wow.
And I'm like, we've always done it. It's just been politicized and turned into something it doesn't need to be. Now, for some people, the way that other locations choose to do it at the church or at the funeral home, that's not for everybody. That's for, you know, some people, lots of people. Yes, they choose that. They are appalled at the idea of having a, their loved one in their home or in another location. So you have to ask yourself, mm-hmm. what is I want? What is it I need? I do not intend to be callous when I say this, but truthfully, the person who has died is gone. They are not physically here anymore. And it's those of us that are living and left behind. That's really where ceremony, that's really where these options of helping you move through the grief process, not through all the way from A to Z, start moving through, start processing. A lot of people will find much better connection if they get to wash their loved one when they've passed. Wrapping and shrouding for those that have that in their tradition. That's why it's in their tradition. That's why those early religions had them in there. There mm-hmm. was always a purpose for everything that people did in all of these different types of ceremonies. And the people that participate in them, when they open their mind and they open their heart, we're human. We're in the flesh. We're a carbon-based being. And with being human comes emotions. And these types of emotions need to be processed. And you want to take a look at, how can I best help myself process this? What is it that I need? And I'm not here to say that this is the only answer for everybody. I'm just here to say, this is an option for those that would like it.
Yeah. Well, you're sharing your knowledge and your education. And it's great to know that we have options. And it really does come down to that freedom of choice. So while we're here on this side and we're alive and well, what do you recommend for, you know, having these conversations with your family and getting things in writing so that maybe when the time comes, a lot of times there's so much grief that family members may not be thinking clearly. So if you are to get it together while you're alive and well and in sound mind and body and say, this is what I want, then they don't have to make those decisions for you.
Right. That is an excellent point. I can't tell you how many families were like mine. We never had the discussion while my dad was living. And we would joke around about certain things, and it's like, cremation. So I knew that he wanted to be cremated. The other stuff I didn't know. So it's good to talk about while you're alive, what it is you would like to be done with your body. Now, someone that comes and says, well, I don't care, just let the family do it. That is such a burden to place on your family, because they're going to be grieving. Mm-hmm. And for them to make decisions and then to think, well, did I do the right thing? Did I do what mom or dad wanted me to do? Mm-hmm. Those questions will haunt them forever. Do your family a favor. Tell them, I want to be cremated, or I want to be buried traditionally.
Sure.
I want to be in a cemetery, or I don't want to be in a cemetery. I want to be scattered at sea, or I want to be in a green burial option. Please, for the love of your family, tell them your decisions. You know, what you would like to be done. And then the other thing is reach out and to someone who's in the industry and ask them, how much does this cost? Because I've had a lot of people that thought they wanted traditional burial. And by the time I walked them through all the costs, they're going, that's more than my car. So what are my other options that, you know, what are my other options? And I really like, talking to people about what is it? Do you mind being embalmed for a viewing? Is that what you want, or you don't want to be embalmed and you want to have a shorter, more intimate service with your family? That's how I ask those questions. Then I ask, when you're dead, would you rather be above ground or below ground? Yeah, because some people, and this will shock you, I learned this while giving cemetery tours. Some people, when I took them to a grave in the ground, they would scream. There's no way you're putting me in there. I'm afraid of the dark, and you know it.
Wow,
and
it's that. And I was,
yeah. Very, very interesting. And then the other thing was, is people would take them to the mausoleum and talk to them about this is mausoleum. And they would say, there's no way you're putting me in a wall. I'm not going to do it. And they would be really upset about that. And they were fine with going into the ground. Right. And some people were like, I don't want to go anywhere. I just want to, I'm going to tell you what this guy said to me, because it was absolutely hilarious. His wife just took her purse and whacked him right there in the arrangement room. But he said, I just want to be cremated and scattered out as close to the beach as possible so I can float through the bikinis one more time.
You know, it's really important because people do have, they have fears, right? I have a family member that was like, no way do I want to be cremated because of the great fear of burning. Okay. So that's just this fear that this person has while they're here in the flesh, not realizing that, you know, but it's a choice, you know, it's really a choice of, and when you put it like that, when you put it like, think about, would you rather be in the ground or do you want to be scattered? Do you want to be, you know, wrapped in a mushroom cloth? You know, I mean, there's all kinds of options now. And I've been reading so much too about aquamation or water cremation that is now starting to take hold in different states. I don't believe it's here yet.
It is. It just, White Rose Aquamation is doing their, or did theirs. What's today? Theirs is, their first one's on the 15th of March.
Okay. That's fantastic. So that's, you know, that is, so it's happening now because here we are the first part of April. So, wow, that's so interesting. And, you know, I was just visiting my daughter and, you know, she's got these really cool friends and they have this game that they play where you get to know each other. And one of the cards was something about, I can't remember, something about death. And so we got opened up on this whole conversation. And my daughter, Betty, said to her friend, she's like, my mom likes to talk about death. And I said, in a really good, healthy way, because, you know, it's just, if we understand that it is just the next level of whatever is next in our evolution, it's not frightening. And it's just, talking about death isn't going to bring it on. And I think that's what people, they fear that. They think, oh, if I talk about it, then I'm going to die soon. I'm like, I don't feel like that at all. If that was the case, I would have been gone years ago, you know?
Right.
So, this is so great, Glenda. What a cool show to be talking about these things. Glenda Villegas, she's funeral director for Threshold Home and Family Directed Funerals. I'm just so excited for you. What have you found that you love about your new position as a funeral director? What is it that kind of lights you up with what you get to do?
What I really enjoy doing is talking to the family and showing them that what they really want to do, because I'll ask them, is this what you want to do? Or is this what you think people want you to do? And then they look at me and they're like, oh, you mean I could do something different? And so we talk about that. I just dig right down into it. What is it that you really want? And if I get to talk to someone before they pass and I make contact with them, then I talk to them and bring their family in on the conversation and start the facilitation of the conversation so that it's not so dramatic for the ones that are left behind afterwards. And it's really nice when people have all the decisions made, but that's not the norm.
Right. Yeah, it isn't, because people get uncomfortable or they just don't think to speak about these issues. Like your dad was only 66 years old. That is not an old man. Old to me is like, I don't know, 90s, or if you hit 100, then yeah, you're old. But 66, that seems like it's almost in the prime. So it probably caught you and your family off guard.
It did.
And so here you are. Were you involved in the death care community when that happened? Or was that a pivotal point where you went, oh, this is what I want to do?
So when I was making my dad's arrangements, they had called me and said, we'd like to offer you the job.
Wow.
Right in the middle of everything is like, you got to go take a drug test. You got to go do all this. And yeah, that was a roller coaster. it also gave me the opportunity to be the voice that I felt was not being heard. Mm. It gave me the opportunity to stand up for families and put the family first instead of the almighty dollar first.
Mm, I like that.
I mean, people need to pay their bills and sure. roof over the head, food on the table. It doesn't need to be $90,000, $65,000 for a funeral.
Yeah. It's just absolutely insane that it has gotten like that, you know, and I do know, and it's no diss on the death care community. I mean, I understand some people might want a big, fancy, fussy, expensive burial, you know, with a casket. I mean, just for me, I just don't understand putting this inanimate object that is not going to decompose in the earth. That doesn't make sense to me. I just think that that's not like, I just want to go back and feed plants and, you know, so I love the aquamation thing or cremation, you know, and we've got all of our stuff. We talk about it, you know, we talk about it with our children because I don't want them to go, I don't know. I don't know what mom and dad wanted. They might think that I want to be in a casket buried, you know, somewhere in the ground. Well, I don't, you know, so to have those things in writing where your children know how to access them, is really, really key. My goodness, this has gone so fast. My guest is Glenda Villegas. You can hear that she knows her stuff. She's a funeral director for Thresholds Home and Family Directed Funerals. If you are listening to this and you're curious about where you are on the planet and what your particular state, the rules or the laws might be surrounding your death care, just go ahead and Google it and you'll find everything you need to find. Glenda, what do you have for us? Any final thoughts? First, I'm going to ask you my favorite question. What do you suppose is waiting for you in the next realm, the next room?
I believe that on the other side is mission number two. You know, I believe that we go on and do other things on the other side, that this is just one stop on our journey.
Okay. I love that. And do you have any final thoughts in closing today?
What I would really like people to take to heart from this talk is to, even if it's difficult for you, to reach out to your children, your loved ones, whoever's going to be taking care of your arrangements, and let them know what you want to do. And if you're capable of going ahead and pre-planning and paying for that, get it done and get the papers put together so the person knows exactly where to go get that information at the time it's needed.
Yeah, that's great advice. You know, and I have to, hats off to my folks because they did the pre-planning. You know, they had everything. They had everything taken care of. They even had their headstone, you know, they were old school, both buried in a great little cemetery up in northern Michigan. But they had it all prepaid. All the choice was out of it. And it just left us children to be able to do a loving celebration of life for them and to hold and hug everybody that showed up to honor them and, you know, not be in this state of, I don't know what they wanted. We knew exactly what they wanted. So that's great, great advice. Glenda Villegas, much success to you at Thresholds Home Family Directed Funerals. And I just can't thank you enough. I love to have shows like this that are practical. You know, I have a lot of different shows. Some are kind of woo-woo and some are out there. And this is just really great practical information that each and every one of us can take and use after we listen to the show. So I'm very grateful that you came on today.
Thank you, Jane. Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much for tuning in to The Next Room. It's just always a pleasure to have you here. Please join me on Facebook. We have a great community over there and it's growing all the time. It's The Next Room with Jane. Also, if you're listening and you're curious about my book, if you click on the link on the show page, it'll take you to my website. You can purchase the book through me. And if you do that, there's a podcast special. I'm just leaving it up there. It's 20% off. So you can get the book autographed and shipped out directly from me and you get a nice deal on it. So thank you so much for listening to The Next Room and I will see you next week.
Join Jane again next week for The Next Room on Empower Radio as she examines the beliefs, traditions, and personal evidence of connection with those who have moved on to the next room.